Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 19th year. This podcast is sponsored by ICE Barcelona, January 20th through 22nd, 2025, at the Fira Barcelona Gran Via. ICE Barcelona is the complete platform to drive revenues through innovative solutions, technology, valuable insights, and unrivaled networking opportunities. To learn more, visit icegaming.com.
My guest today is Jonathan Chaudhuri, the former head of the National Indian Gaming Commission, and now he's running his own shop as an attorney out in the free world.
Yes, sir. For better or for worse, right. All the slings and arrows.
So tell me what you've been doing since you left. I can't believe it's been 5 years already.
It's amazing how time flies. But first off, I just wanted to say thank you, Roger, for having me back. It's always an honor to work with you. I always respected and admired the work you do with GGB, and I'm happy to be here. I mean, look, we've all had our ups and downs over the last few years. Yep. We made it through a pandemic, and I'm practicing. The work that I do is very discreet, word of mouth.
Right.
My outward-facing role is ambassador of Muscogee Nation, and I'm very proud to serve my nation in that capacity. But quietly, I serve a number of tribes who are working on building their economic development platforms, and I'm very proud of the work I do to help strengthen sovereignty.
Great. Well, you know, you did great work at the commission. I mean, I was thinking the other day, before you arrived, there was kind of a tension between the commission and the tribes. And there's always some sort of tension between regulators and the operators, but you seem to bring that level down a little bit to a more, I don't want to say diplomatic, but a more personal level, that you could talk to the tribes and they could talk to the commission.
Yeah, it's just a matter of reality. The only way to successfully regulate the industry is to work with your partners, who are the first responders on the ground. So it will never work if you're in an adversarial posture with the tribes.
Sure.
I think I'm very honored that tribes were receptive to the outreach we engaged in, and I think it was pretty successful.
Yeah. And I think you're the one that really pushed the training element as well. That the tribal regulator, of course, reports to the National Indian Gaming Commission. So you really ramped up that training program.
Yeah, and that was critical because, you know, it was before I got there, there was almost an either or perception about regulation. It's either you're regulating everything, you know, issuing speeding tickets for every violation, or you're taking a hands-off approach. And I don't think either approach is correct. I think the correct approach is to actively regulate when necessary. And in order to do that, you need to rely on the folks on the ground, which are the tribes. And in order for them to have the tools they need, you need it to provide training opportunities and technical assistance support. And so we ramped that up, not as just a lovey-dovey feel-good thing.
Sure, right.
It was a practical approach to regulation.
Right, right. And you know, some of them, I mean, even in commercial regulatory agencies, they get appointed. They really have no experience in gaming. They don't really know about it. So how did you kind of get down to the brass tacks and start from A1?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's twofold. I mean, one, NIGC can play an incredibly important role in providing guidance.
Right.
And the way that NIGC provides guidance is through the formal regulation process, pass regulations that set standards, but also you provide guidance through day-to-day engagement. So the guidance through, whether it's bulletins or written guidance, was important. But on top of that, you need to actually be out there in the field and work with folks. You can pass regulations that say what needs to be in a tribal ordinance or needs to be in a tribal internal control, but implementing it takes work, and you have to send your team out. I was very, very honored that whenever we were at G2E, any of these other conferences, we'd always show up in force. And it wasn't because anybody loved coming to Vegas.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with being in Vegas. It's just, this is where the tribes are.
Right, sure.
You set up meetings and you hear people out and you work with them.
Great. So talk about some of the issues that are before the tribes right now. I think the most pressing one now is the online gaming and sports betting issue. We've got patchwork of things going on in Florida. The Seminole Tribe in Florida has a monopoly, whereas in Connecticut, the Mohegans and Mashantuck and Pequots are participating, but they don't have a monopoly. Same thing, I think, in Michigan. Why do you think that the tribes haven't really embraced that in other areas of the country?
Well, first of all, I owe you an article. I'll get you an article on this very topic, hopefully in the next few months. But every situation is different. So the West Flagler matter, I think it's somewhat misunderstood in the industry. It didn't authorize that hub and spoke model everywhere.
Right.
It just authorized tribes and states to talk about the hub and spoke model and potentially enter into compacts that address regulation off reservation. Now, it wasn't a magic switch that was flipped that authorizes the hub and spoke model and other states like Oklahoma, Arizona, and elsewhere. In states that have more than a couple federally recognized tribes,
right.
and Florida is somewhat unique in that case, it's difficult to make sure that there is appropriate buy-in among all the very different tribes in a given state. So, Arizona is, I think, 29 recognized tribes, Oklahoma over 30,
right.
California over 100. The problem with trying to figure out a game plan that works for everybody is figuring out a way so the have-alls don't have more.
Right.
And figuring out a way, since you need to have engagement with a state government, having the tribes unified in that engagement, that's a challenge when you've got more than a couple of tribes.
Sure, right.
So the Florida model is instructional, but it doesn't govern how things are going to play out in all these other states.
Yeah. California, of course, is the main state. They had two referendums last year that both of them failed by a massive margin, even the one that the tribes, although they ended up not supporting that in the end anyway. But is there an answer to what they can do in California?
Well, I think the lesson from California is engage with tribes first.
Right.
If you try to push something through, no matter how well-funded your referendum is, no matter how much political pull you may think you have, tribes stand up for themselves.
Sure, right.
And so if you're going to come up with a model, whether it's a sports betting model or any other online platform, you have to have tribal buy-in.
Right.
And it's not going to work without that, because tribes aren't suckers.
Sure,
stand up for ourselves.
Right. So we've seen a lot of crossover recently with tribes running commercial casinos. It started with the Mohegan tribe in Pennsylvania, and now we've seen the Seminole tribe come here to Las Vegas and buy the Mirage, and they'll be opening that in a few years. That'll be a spectacular guitar hotel, and
see the Palms.
Yeah. And the Palms, of course, with the San Manuel tribe. Do you see that as a real trend, that those things are going to continue?
I mean, it's a natural extension, because Indian gaming, after 35 years, has developed amazing in-house expertise that applies not just in tribal facilities, but in commercial facilities.
Right.
And that expertise has led to tribes actually running and consulting commercial gaming enterprises throughout the world.
Yeah.
And so it's natural. I mean, that was kind of the intent of IGRA's time limits or proposed time limits on management.
Right.
The idea was never that you'd have perpetual third parties managing tribal operations. The idea was you develop that in-house expertise, and I think tribes have that.
Right. Yeah.
And in many ways, they have more. I mean, I think their market share is something like 45% of the market, and the tribes have been doing this for decades, and so it just makes sense to expand into Vegas, expand into Macau, expand everywhere.
Right. And it's also diversifying the tribal economy, which I think is the goal in all cases. I worry about what will happen with the tribal casinos in Oklahoma if Texas legalizes gambling. Same thing with the commercial casinos in Louisiana and some of the tribal casinos there as well. Do you help tribes try to diversify their economy in other ways?
Absolutely. So, I mean, gaming has been a huge engine for supporting programs and services throughout Indian country. But the seed money that gaming has provided has been utilized by tribes in all sorts of areas. So a good example is my tribe. And I'm not speaking in my capacity as ambassador, but I'm very proud of the work that my tribe does. We've invested in healthcare. Yep. We have, you know, 4 full-blown hospitals. We purchased one of the most, one of the best cancer centers in Oklahoma. And we serve tribal citizens and non-natives as well.
Right.
I mean, when COVID hit, we were providing shots to everybody. I mean, natives, non-natives, anybody who came through the door. And it's being a good partner, but it's also a good business model.
Right.
And healthcare is just one example. I mean, obviously, Indian countries have a tourism connection for years, but we've morphed that into global tourism.
Right.
There's just every industry you can think of that seed money that gaming has provided tribes are getting into. I mean, you look at the business corporations of most tribes, their investment committees look at these things just as any venture capital organization looks at things. So, yeah, not all tribes are similar situated. Some tribes are more rural, and it's more difficult for more rural tribes to engage in economic development. But I think one of the lessons over the last few decades is tribes are in it together. So if you're a successful gaming tribe, you actually have an interest in supporting your sister nations because that strengthens your sovereignty.
We've seen Mohican tribe help the Cowlitz tribe in Washington State all the way across the other side of the country build and operate their casino, and now they've turned it back over to the tribe. And that's happened several times, not with just the Mohicans, but I know some of the Minnesota tribes have helped some of the less fortunately located tribes out there. So I agree. I think tribes stick together and for the most part.
Yeah. Well, let me just be honest. Again, I'm just speaking my personal capacity. This idea of all of us being in it together and having a shared mission for supporting sovereignty. Certain things can hurt sovereignty, which I'm not going to get into too many details unless you want me to. But my tribe's engaged in trying to protect one of our ceremonial sites.
Sure.
And that ceremonial site was destroyed by another federally recognized tribe who built a casino.
Right.
Now, some people may say, well, okay, in order to hold that other tribe accountable, you've got to get through their sovereign immunity.
Right.
Isn't that problematic? And the answer is no, because bad actions lead to bad facts, which if you're hiding bad actions behind sovereign immunity, that hurts all of India's
right.
So we need to be responsible in everything we do with our economic activities, and we're all in it together.
Yeah, and there are exceptions, as you mentioned. I mean, there's a move to have a tribal casino, I think, in Washington State. Off tribal land, they're going to take land into trust in some other area where they don't have a historical tie, and one of the tribes is opposed.
It's tricky. I mean, being a former federal official, I very much appreciate the need for the federal government to be creative to provide economic options for tribes. I mean, I equate it to being on a merry-go-round. Different tribes were thrown off the merry-go-round at different times in history, and you need to be creative in terms of providing economic options. At the same time, the example that I gave is a good example of, in the effort to be creative, you can't destroy what Indian gaming is all about.
Sure,
Indian gaming is about supporting your culture, supporting who you are as a people. If you're desecrating your culture in the effort to expand economic options, that's just bad policy and come back to haunt you.
Sure, no question. So, as an attorney, you have to work in civil courts and also in tribal courts? How much of a conflict is that? What is the conflict?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very blessed right now because, as I said, my outward-facing role, when I have to testify before Congress or when I'm engaged with the federal government, when I'm wearing my ambassador hat, I'm an official for the nation. But the work that I do for tribal nations is very quiet. It's all on the DL. It's all word of mouth. And that work, I'm at the stage of my life, I work quite a bit with my wife, who's an amazing attorney, as well as a few other colleagues that do the funneling work. But most of my role is providing strategic advice, as you know, as a lawyer, but also from a policy perspective. So a tribe will want to get from A to B, and my job is to try to get them there. So I'm not in court as much as I was 20 years ago. You know, fortunately, other people are in court on matters for me. But I'm thankful for having a few gray hairs, not as many as some, but a few gray hairs that provide some strategic sense of the landscape. And I try to bring that to the conversations I have with tribes.
Well, you always brought integrity to whatever you do, so we're pleased that you could join us today, and congratulations on your new baby, for one.
Oh, thank you.
And also,
one of the oldest dads in Indian country right now. She's just adorable.
She's beautiful. So thanks for coming by, and let's stay in touch, and we'll take you up on that article when you're ready.
Absolutely. Thank you, Roger. Always a joy.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast sponsored by ICE Barcelona, January 20th through 22nd, 2025 at Fira Barcelona Gran Via. ICE Barcelona is the complete platform to drive revenues through innovative solutions, technology, valuable insights, and unrivaled networking opportunities. To learn more, visit icegaming.com. To read more about the topic presented in this week's podcast, visit ggbmagazine.com. To subscribe to GGB's executive summary, go to ggbnews.com and sign up. Don't miss any edition of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Spotify, Amazon, or Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.